Brother Strode practices with the young people on Wednesday evenings at 5:15. And as he said, anyone is welcome to come. So if you would like to come and watch these children that have been to the Do Re Music School teach Brother Strode about music, you can come and be with them. But I appreciate the work that he's doing, that Brother Strode is doing with the young people. I want to ask for your prayers as I try to share with you today the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. And I'm going to read just a very short scripture lesson today. In fact, I'm just going to read two verses found in the Epistle of James in the 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. James wrote, and he said, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." And I'm going to stop there. Perhaps have some more scripture to share throughout the message, but that's the verses I want to read to begin today as a reading lesson. I want to use today a question as a title for the message, and that question is your heart right with God? Is your heart right with God? Now, we sing a song, and a lot of times you hear this song sang as an invitation song. It might be a song that you would commonly hear during a revival service when sinners are being urged to seek the Lord for the salvation of their soul. And in that song, it says, "Is thy heart right with God?" And if you're here today and you're lost, I certainly want to encourage you to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul. And the Bible does tell us in the 10th chapter of Romans that it is with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. But I'm not asking the question today of those who are lost. I'm asking the question of those who are saved. Is your heart right with God? And, that could be, I suppose, a confusing question to people, because we know that those of us who have been saved, that our hearts have been fixed. But the Bible does speak of the fact, and I'll share some scripture and proof of this, but the Bible does speak of the fact that those who have been saved, that their heart is not always right with God. Our fellowship with Him is not always what it is supposed to be and what it should be and could be. And so I want you that are saved today to think of this question with me. Is your heart right with God? And, those of us who have been saved, we know that we have been given eternal life. We're saved. We're saved forever. And nothing is ever going to change that. We are eternally secure in the Lord. Brother Mike, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, spoke of the verse that we find in the tenth verse of the second chapter of Ephesians. And I want to share with you what is said in that chapter, actually verses 8 through 10 of the second chapter of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, wherefore God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so we that have been saved, we were not saved by our good works. There were no works that we could do to save ourselves. But when God did save us, he created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. If you want to look at it this way, those of us who have been saved have been created twice. We are God's creation. He created us and gave us life. But those who have been saved have been created in Christ Jesus. And that creation, he said, is unto good works. Now, just as our good works didn't have anything to do with you and I being saved because we are saved by grace, our good works don't have anything to do with us remaining saved. There's nothing that we are doing. There's nothing that we are striving to do in order that we might keep our salvation. God is taking care of that. We are saved by his grace, and according to the scriptures, as the Apostle Peter wrote, we are kept by his power. And so we are eternally secure in the Lord. But now, and truly, our salvation is kept by no effort, at all on our part. Like I said, we're not doing anything. Now, there is a doctrine, and I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but there is a doctrine that is taught in our land today that we are saved by grace, but that we keep that by our works, and that's just not true. That's not scriptural. We are saved by God's grace, and we are kept by God's power. But living the life that we ought to live, you know, sometimes we just don't accomplish that. And I want you to know that the Bible teaches that for those who have been saved, that we have not only been forgiven of our sins and blessed with the benefit of heaven when this life is over, but we have been called of God unto a lifestyle. And I think that too often that is overlooked, that we have been called of God to live according to the change that has taken place in us. And the Apostle Paul really gives a great discourse on that in the sixth chapter of the Roman letter. And he talks about how that even that when we are baptized, those of us who are saved and have united with the Lord's church and have been baptized, our baptism was a public profession that we were going to, from that day forward, that we were going to live accordingly to the change that had taken place in our hearts. It is a public profession of an inward change. Now, if you don't have an inward, if you have not had an inward change, and Brother Lowe made that very plain and very truthful this morning, if you have not had an inward change before you go into the waters of baptism, you're not going to get it by going into the waters of baptism. That's got to be there first. And baptism is ineffective without that. But those who have done that, have been saved and have put their light on the candlestick and united with the church and received scriptural baptism, we have testified before the world that we will, as the Apostle Paul put it in the sixth chapter of Romans, that we will walk in newness of life, that we will no longer live unto sin, that we will no longer live under its influences, but that we will live to God, live unto God, and live under his influences. And, you know, that's not always an easy thing to do. And it does require effort on our part. That does require a commitment from us that we would live according to the way that God expects us to live. Now, there are things that in the world that challenge us. And just as Brother Mike was talking this morning, teaching from the book of Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the wall and Sanballat and others were challenging them, we are challenged in this world to live a godly life. Because the Apostle Peter said, we have an adversary. And he is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And so we have an adversary, we have an enemy in the devil that though he cannot take away from us what God gave us when he saved us, he certainly can ruin our influence over anyone else. And so there are times, and I believe that this is true for all of us, they're just, you know, God, as long as we are in this world, God just does not have any perfect children. We all, at times, we drift. We all, at times, we get away from what we ought to be. And listen, you can be, and perhaps you have found yourself in this very condition before, but you know what? You can be sitting in church from Sunday to Sunday and be just as cold as a cucumber in your heart. You can be sitting in church from week to week and your heart really not be where it ought to be with the Lord. You can be attending church from week to week and really not having the fellowship that you ought to have with God. I believe that there are two things that I have read in these verses from the Epistle of James that are very important to us as the children of God, and both of these things, as far as I'm concerned, we need to do. We need to resist the devil. We need to resist the devil. The Apostle Paul said, and again, this was quoted this morning in the Sunday school hour, but the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Ephesians, he said, we need to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because listen, I guarantee you that he does not like for people to serve the Lord. When you try to live your life for the Lord, the devil does not like that. And I've shared this with you before. I always think this makes a good point. I remember hearing the story about a woman that told her pastor that the devil never bothered her. And he said, well, then you ought to try doing something for God. If we live for the Lord, he will. He will try to distract us in every way that he can. And I really believe this. Perhaps before I ever begin this message, I should have just told you how much I love you. I do love you, but I want to say some things today that I believe are true. I believe that we are too prone to just give way to the devil. We're too prone to let him influence us, to let him have an influence over our lives. Listen, the Lord is the one that we're supposed to be following. We are to be resisting the devil. And these things that James wrote, he wrote these, and you can see this. If you go back to the very beginning of this epistle, you will see that James addressed these things that he said to his brethren. He addressed these to people who were saved. And so he said that we need to resist the devil. And then he said that we need to draw nigh to God. And that's the way that we resist the devil, by drawing nigh to God. Listen, if we get close enough to the Lord, he's not going to be able to bother us. And so we need to stay close to God. And that's a challenge, because like I said, we have a great adversary. We have a great enemy that doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to stay close to God. He doesn't want us to have power with God. And so he will try in every evil way that he can to distract us from that. And we have to be able to, we have to be spiritual enough to recognize that and to see the evil ways of the devil. And you know, the Apostle Paul wrote and he said, we're not ignorant of his devices. I mean, we know, not only what we have seen in our lives and not only the things that we have experienced the devil trying to tempt us with, but the Bible tells us some things about him that we can use to be aware of the things that he tries to do. And so if we put on the whole armor of God and we stay close to the Lord, and as we if we do what Paul said there in connection with that armor in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, if we will pray and stay close to God, then we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And the Bible said, James said, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you know, we have an example of that when Jesus was taken up there to the mountain and he was tempted. You know, the devil came at him with everything that he could, but finally the resistance was too much and the devil left him and the angels came and ministered unto him. And so, you know, we can get him off of our back and we can get rid of him, but we're going to have to draw nigh to God in order to be able to do it. The devil's not afraid of you, and he's not afraid of me, but he is God. And he knows that God has far greater power than what he does. There are times in our lives, just to be blunt, when we just get out of sorts with God. There are times when we just get cold. We get cold. We get spiritually cold. And we drift away from the Lord and in ways that we shouldn't. And there are times that we need to be renewed. Now listen, this may happen by some type of sin in your life, some type of bad moral decision that you might make and begin to do something immoral, something that's not fitting for a child of God to do, but it also may come about by just being complacent and being lethargic and not really being where we ought to be in the work of the Lord. Amen, Brother Mike. We need to be involved in the work of the Lord. And so, you know, there are those times that come when we find ourselves in that condition and we need to be renewed. We need to be revived. We need to be revitalized. We need to get back to where we ought to be with the Lord. We need to get our hearts right with God and be serving Him in an acceptable way. I want to share some scripture with you in the 12th chapter of Romans. In the first two verses, it talks about this. Instructions to the children of God. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And listen to what he said. Be not conformed to this world. Now what happens? What happens? The word conformed is taking on the form of something. What happens when the children of God allow themselves to be conformed to this world, what happens when the things of the world take over and they pollute our minds and they take our time and they distract us? What happens? We become much less spiritual. Much less spiritual. And so we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed. By what? He said, by the renewing of your mind. You know, listen, folks, sometimes we need to just get back to God, don't we? Sometimes we need to just return to the Lord. We need transformed. This flesh can be hard to battle. And, you know, I'm persuaded that the devil just uses more and more things all the time to distract us. I'll tell you what, if there's anything, if there's something that anybody invents that he can use to distract us from God, you can believe he's going to use it. If he sees anything that he can tempt us to be interested in that will distract us from the things of God, he's going to jump on it. He's going to jump on it. And so there seems to be more and more ways all the time that he finds to distract us. And so the instruction was, and this is what we need, if we find ourselves being worldly minded, if we find ourselves too consumed with the world, if we find ourselves conformed to the world, then we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I believe, simply stated, that what Paul was saying there was, when we find ourselves away from God, we need to make our way back to Him. We need to get back to the Lord. David had committed some horrible sins. Anybody that's read anything at all about the life of David knows that. David became guilty of some really, really bad things in the flesh. He became guilty of adultery. He became guilty of having someone murdered. I mean, he committed some horrible crimes against God. And the Lord knew about it. Let me tell you something. You're not hiding anything from God. You may have something tucked away in your heart that you think that nobody knows about. Well, let me tell you something. You know, there may not be any of your brothers or sisters that do know about it, but I'm telling you, God sees it. God knows it. God knew the sins of David. He knew exactly what he had done. David had tried to be so, you know, he had tried to conceal the things that he did. And that's exactly what he was trying to do. And that's exactly how he ended up having Bathsheba's husband killed, because he was trying to conceal the sin that he had committed. He was trying to cover up that adulterous affair that he had had with that woman. He was trying to make it where nobody would find out what he had done. But all the time, God knew about it. And God sent a prophet to him by the name of Nathan. And Nathan was a brave man, brave in the Lord anyway, to go stand before the king and rebuke him the way that he did. But we have in the 51st Psalm what I believe is David's description of his repentance, his acknowledgement of his sin and his repentance before God. And I want you to pay close attention to what he said in Psalm 51, beginning with verse 7. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me. Now this is a child of God. This is a plea to God from one of his children. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Was David praying to God that he would not take his salvation away? No. And he didn't lose his salvation. But I believe that he did fear that his walk with God and his fellowship with God, if he didn't make things right with God, if his heart was not made right with God, that things just wouldn't be the same. I believe he feared that he would not have the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God with him. I believe that's what he was talking about when he prayed that God would not take his Holy Spirit from him. You know, God, listen, the Lord leads his children by his Holy Spirit. But if we don't walk according to the ways of God, we're not going to have those benefits, are we? That's what David was fearing. He didn't want to lose the joy of the Lord's salvation. And so he prayed that God would hear his prayer and clean his heart up and renew a right spirit. Now, Paul said in the 12th chapter of Romans that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. David prayed that God would renew in him a right spirit. And, you know, sometimes that's exactly what we need. We need to be renewed. We need to be revived. I'll just tell you exactly what I believe concerning Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church this morning. I believe that we need a renewal. I believe we need revival. I believe that we need to draw nigh to God and claim the promise, if we do, that he will draw nigh unto us and resist the devil and not allow him to influence us. I'm going to ask you some questions. I want you to think about these individually. But you know what? As a church, what we are going to be as a church begins with what we desire to be as a church. Do we want to be a church that's on fire for God? Is that what we want? In your individual life, do you want to be influential? You know, there's something that very, very important that David said in that 51st Psalm. He said, after he prayed that prayer that God would renew, that God would create in him a clean heart and renew in him a right spirit and restore unto him the joy of his salvation, he said in verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Let me tell you something. We might as well put it out of our mind. We are not going to be an influence to anybody as long as our hearts
are far away from God, if our hearts are not right with God, I'm saying that to each of us, to me, to you, as individual Christians, if our hearts are not right with God, if we're cold and indifferent concerning the things of God, we are not going to be an influence to anybody. I'll tell you, those who influence others are those who are on fire for the Lord. Those who are really serving the Lord. So I want to ask you these questions. I want you to think about it with great seriousness. Think about it, just ask yourself. Just let these questions into your own heart. Do you feel like you are spiritually lacking? Do you know that you're just not as close to God as you should be or as you could be? Are you just not feeling the joy of the Lord's salvation, perhaps like you have in days gone by? Are you happy at church? When you come to worship, are you happy? Are you worshiping with joy in your heart? Or do you come and sit through a service and leave after the benediction without receiving any special blessing at all? Are you glad when it's time to come to the house of the Lord? Is there gladness in your heart the way that there should be? Do you feel that though you are concerned, that you just don't have the burden for lost souls that you ought to have? Do you? Do you feel an overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you feel Him when you're in your house? Do you feel Him when you're driving your car? Do you feel Him when you're working? Do you often feel the presence of the Holy Spirit of God around you? Or has this become something that just happens every once in a while? I'll tell you what, I'm convinced the closer you are to God, the more you will feel His presence. Do you have worldly things on your mind more often, perhaps much more often, than the things of God? You know, honestly, if we do, that's a problem. If we have to answer yes, and I believe that we all do, to any of these questions, that's a problem. Let me tell you something, Christian friend. If you got sin in your life that you haven't repented of, you know, the Bible teaches us that when we are saved, that we are forgiven of our sins, that we have through the blood of Christ, we have the forgiveness of sin. But we also read in the Bible, just like we did with David, we have many examples of times when the children of God had to come to Him and they had to repent of sin in their life, that their heart might be right with God. If there's sin in your life that's separating you from the fellowship that you ought to have with God, if you haven't repented of that sin and got rid of it, you need to. You need to. God is faithful and just to forgive you of those things. If we've allowed the world to just overtake our minds and distract us and cause us to become spiritually deficient and even cold concerning the things of the Lord, we need to repent of that. We need to repent and beg God to renew our hearts and help us to be what we ought to be. Well, how do we do that? We draw nigh to God. We draw nigh to God.
we resist the devil and the things that he tempts us with, and we draw nigh to God. I read of people in the Bible that really walked with the Lord. I believe I've known people in my life that really walked with the Lord. But even for them at times, and we can even read examples of it in the scriptures, even for them at times, they drifted away and had to be renewed. You feel like that today, that you need to be renewed? Well, the way to do that is to draw nigh to the Lord. And I'd like for us to have a song. I'd like to extend an invitation to anyone today that needs to come and pray, saved or lost. You got something in your life that you need to get rid of. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Repent of it. Get rid of it. You know, we ought to, if we'll do what's right as God's people. You know, David, you read the 139th Psalm, and David prayed that God would show him the wicked ways that were in him. Search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. And, you know, we ought to desire to stay as close to the Lord as we can, that we might be the influence to the world, to others, that we ought to be. So let's
Number 357. 357 verses 1 and 5. I have another song on my heart as well. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Five. Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy soul wearing the garment of white? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Number 141, 141, 1, 3, and 4. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. Oh, Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares, thy will supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I hunger.